From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 21st day of August. We have a big day in front of us. ProFarmer has released their national yield predictions. They put this year's corn crop at 173.2 bushels to the acre. That's down sharply from the August estimate from USDA at 180.7. And they put the soybean crop at a bigger crop at 53.3 bushels to the acre. We'll talk about that all in just a moment right here on the Closing Market Report. Mike Zuzula, GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas, now joins us to talk about what's happened in Chicago for the week. But Mike, really, the news is not the crop tour that took place, but the national numbers from ProFarmer, which were released at 1:30 today. They put the national yield for corn at 173.2 bushels to the acre, with a 15.344 billion bushel corn crop. That's way off where USDA had been in the August numbers. And they were above, that was below, but they were well above the soybean number. They're actually right at the trend line, 53.3, which USDA backed off of, and a 4.572 billion bushel soybean crop. If realized, that size soybean crop would be the largest ever harvested in the United States. They did use, for reference, the acreage that USDA had in August. What's your reaction?
For me, Todd, a week ago, you and I talked about the tour and being concerned about big pod counts for soybeans and that the trade was holding back on soybean potential upside, even with Chinese buying, because of this potential in the tour. That seems to have occurred with the 53.3 yield. Not to get too deep into the weeds, but I've heard that the pod counts were down all week long. And so the 53.3 yield does surprise me some. What I think surprises me the most, though, is to be relatively higher on the yield when you look at the range of soybeans that they came out with versus USDA, and not even come close to the yield number in corn. To have that kind of an extreme, you know, that you could explain it through the idea that the grain fill and the tip back were going to bring the yields down in the corn some, but I think that's probably a bridge too far for me right now to go from 180.7 USDA number to 173.2 ProFarmer in the context of the problems that we've seen in the Eastern Corn Belt and Bean Belt. And unless they see something that the extreme heavy rains would have hurt the corn more than the beans, which I don't think that agronomically makes sense. It's a tough one for me coming off of a week where it's probably been the most bullish, price-friendly crop tour I can remember since probably 2012, as far as how the trade has traded it, with the beans not wanting to rally as much as the corn. In fact, we're going to close up about 6.5%, 7% in corn. Soybeans up about 4.2%. I think part of this goes back to what's been happening in the Black Sea and Paris. Paris corn is at a 3.5-year high as far as the cash price. The Paris futures hit 840 this week, and that's a 3.5-year high. So I guess my take is you can have one, but not the other. One's too high or one's too low.
So we can move on from that, I think. We'll see how the trade reacts on Sunday night to these numbers. It'll be interesting to see how that happens. It may be one of those quick things, I suppose. It feels like it's a quick USDA thing, and then they get back to what they believe the marketplace might be, but who knows?
Yeah, and I think, you know, to dovetail with that, they go through seven of the most important states in the Corn Belt, you know, production-wise. I think that's a fair assessment, but there's 18 states that USDA measures, and so that's going to be the issue. I think this opens up the door, theoretically speaking, of buying more corn and selling more beans, especially if you don't have the Chinese trade relationship sitting in a good spot like it is right now. And this is a big if, because as you say, the weekend, we're going to have economic D-Day is what the President Trump's administration is calling it with Iran. And China has made no uncertain or been very unequivocal in saying, don't go too far with this because we will respond.
They've said they're not going to participate.
Exactly. Yeah. So This is the layover from what we talked about last week. It's still continuing on. We just don't know where the U.S. and China are heading into the mid-September, late September meeting here, state visit by President Xi.
Yeah, that I think is the next, well, or the next important step is the USDA numbers in September. But really, everybody will be waiting for that meeting at the end of September between President Xi and President Trump. And what, if anything, comes out of that deal, I suppose.
Yes, I agree.
That'll be about the time producers go to the field. Their marketing will be done at that point. So it'll be interesting to watch and see.
Yeah, and I think this is where the pod feel comes into place. Are we going to stay cool and are we going to stay disease free? This next 20 days for soybeans is either going to make the pro farmer number look right, or it's going to be very, very high because of it matching up more with the corn. I think this number of ears issue I would take issue with based upon my own survey that I had done with clients that they're talking about 14 around, 12, 14 around, not 16, 18 around in central southern Illinois this year. They're not talking about, issues with the number of ears on the plants. Yeah.
Beef cattle, you want to talk about that? What's on the line?
So this comes in the context of the Trump administration announcing Friday taking on 300,000 metric tons. It sounds like it's going to be African beef that's going to be at 25% below current market prices. It's going to be in with the idea that they're going to try and pull prices down, I think, during this last grilling season ahead of the election. But it is resoundingly coming across Friday from my clients, my cattlemen and cattlewomen, that they are not going to retain. And this is going to be a really big hit to the marketplace if the cattle prices stay weak. So cattle on feed report Friday, super important number of head on feed. And I'm hoping that President Trump moves and redirects this and reverses this course before the end of the weekend, because it's just going to create a tighter and tighter cattle supply here domestically. And we're going to rely more upon imports in the foreseeable future.
Hey, thank you much, Mike. Mike Zerzalowitz at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas, and joined us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. Find it online. Listen again at willag.org. We're now joined by pro farmer economist Lane Acree. He is traveling back to his home after being on the road all week with the tour, and has an update with the pro farmer national yields. These are not the tour yields, but the national yields. Lane, thank you for being with us. What did you find?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Well, the eastern part of the Corn Belt, it's been struggling a lot, and we've seen lower ear counts, smaller ears than a year ago, and well down from what we would expect in this crop. And on the corn side of things, we ended up with an average yield of 173.2 bushels to the acre. Now we have a 1% bend on either side of that, up to 175 down to 171.5. And we reviewed the FSA planted acreage estimates that NASS used in that latest crop production report. And we don't feel strongly that number is going to shift one way or the other. It might be a little bit of a downtick in harvested acreage, but we're not going to try to put a pin on that number. So we're using USDA's harvested acreage figure. So we've got a national production of 15.344 billion bushels. On the soybean side of things, we found some pretty impressive beans. The moisture is there to help the crop finish out. And we're actually anticipating a record soybean yield this year, topping last year's record. We anticipate the national average yield at 53.3 bushels to the acre. We use a 2% band on soybeans, so up to 54.4 bushels down to 52.2. Again, we're using USDA's harvested acres, their production of 4.572 billion bushels. That would be a record. The pods are pretty impressive, what we found in Iowa, what we found in Illinois. So while we only found one state that actually had more pods versus a year ago, and that was Minnesota. Very impressive soybean and corn crop there. We think that the moisture that the crop has, the way that the crop is going to be able to finish, could propel the yield to a record.
Repeat to me what your number was for corn.
173.2.
How again was it that you got to that number? USDA at the beginning of the year, 183, 180.7. So what is it that was in the Crop Scout reports that really drove the number lower?
It was a combination of those lower ear counts, especially in the eastern part of the Corn Belt. And typically when you have those lower ear counts, you're going to see bigger ears. That crop has got more nutrients. It's got more sunlight. It's able to throw on a bigger ear. But the weather challenges that the Corn Belt in general has faced just didn't allow for that to happen. So we just saw a very big discrepancy between where USDA had the crop in that August report, which was survey-based, and they use some NDVI data, and they also incorporate the crop progress report a little bit in that. The difference between the survey and what is found in the field. So there is no objective yield data in that August report from USDA. And, you know, using our historical spread between where the tour sample, all sample averages are for the state and the USDA final, we were 20 bushels away in Indiana and Illinois. You see a 20 bushel drop in those two states, that national yield number is going to fall. And that helped push our national average yield down to that 173.2. In Iowa, we found a good crop, but it's still below where we were at a year ago. The northern part of the state is going to help carry, but it's not going to help. It's not going to offset the lower yield that we saw in western Iowa.
So it's just about number of ears per acre, and grain fill can't make up for that.
We had a record test weights the last 2 years, and given the nitrogen issues that are going to be happening in the east, so we saw it in western Illinois where things were starting to dry up. When we were in Ohio, we were in ankle deep mud. When we were in Indiana, it was still muddy. And then Wednesday night, they got another 4.5 inches of rain near Indianapolis. They got another 5 inches of rain in Columbus. That crop's not going to have the nutrients it needs to put on a heavy enough ear to make up for that drop in ear counts and that drop in ear size.
Hey, thank you much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Lane Ankry is an economist at Pro Farmer and wrapped up the Pro Farmer Crop Tour with the Pro Farmer National Yields. Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible now joins us to take a look at the marketplace. Hello, Eric. How are you today?
I am doing better. I mean, the weather's beautiful today, finally, and it's not pouring rain. And so I'm happy, and I get to listen to my kids play in the marching band tonight. So this is a good day, as long as we just don't make anybody mad with any discussions about yield, right?
Yeah. High school football. Let's talk about high school football tonight. That's what we got going on right here and all over the Midwest. This is probably the start for everybody.
Yeah.
Should be a great weekend. First, at least in Illinois, it looks like a good night. Admittedly, those folks who are in Wisconsin have had a tough day today, too.
They have, and we do need to be watching radar tonight. So across the state, keep a lookout to your north just to see if on the radar anything does show up and start moving to the south. I'm just saying it's a non-zero chance, so I want to watch it carefully. A big chunk of Illinois was under the risk, a slight risk today, so just something to keep an eye on. We don't need another drop of rainfall, that's for sure, but there might be some scatter storms coming out of the north. Maybe they get here well after all the games are played.
What we do need is sunshine and some growing degree days to help finish this crop out, particularly the corn crop, soybeans too. What do you see over the next couple of weeks?
Well, the good news is we're drier, so there's a pretty strong signal that we do not return back to the incredibly wet pattern that we've been in, where some parts of the state, you know, grabbed over a foot of rainfall. I mean, locally for us, it was somewhere between 6 and 9 inches of rainfall, just right around, you know, the vicinity of Champaign-Urbana area. Worse in Indiana, some wet places in parts of Nebraska and Iowa too. But it seems as though the pattern's going to give us a little bit of a break. There's several days of good sunshine coming in, and temperatures, I think, are going to start to rebound closer to the end of the month. We've actually been cooler than normal for several days now. And we're going to start to see the temperatures climbing back up. But remember, Todd, climbing temperatures late in August and September is way different than if we said that was happening in June and July, because we're losing daylight hours and losing solar angles slowly, and it's going to have an impact on it. But I don't think we're going to have trouble getting the GDDs we need to finish the season well. I'm not seeing any risk with that.
All right. Well, that'll be good. So if we have the sunshine and the GDDs, we need to talk about what you think and maybe what you've heard from the Nutrina Ag Solutions agronomist as it's related to this crop size. Of course, there's been an awful lot of talk about tip back as the Pro Farmer Crop Tour made its way across the Corn Belt. What are your agronomist at Nutrien telling you?
Well, the big story is about nitrogen. So, you know, given where things have been for the last couple of years, there's concern that maybe not enough was put on the crop last fall and early this spring. We had the incredibly wet June. Remember how stormy it was in June? At the time, we're like, oh, rain, good. This is what we need. And then we're like, wait a minute, that was way too much rain. And now the concern became that we probably lost some of that to leaching, the denitrification, of course, happening around that as well. And so there's some concern. You know, our good friend Matt Bennett's been flying over the crop a lot lately, and he's seen some very interesting, you know, coloration with all of it. And then you put on the incredibly heavy rains we've seen as of late. I've been getting asked, did that help or did that hurt? And I'll be honest, if you're in the low-lying areas and you're in the spots near the river bottoms, or you are just in those really flood-prone areas, excuse me, then yeah, it was bad. But Todd, I drove to Indiana twice this week, and I drove over to McLean County for an event there in Bloomington. And I'll tell you this, I drove through some of the hardest hit spots in Indiana. All that water has drained away. The crop honestly looks amazing in most places. And that's not to take an ounce away from the devastation in some of those towns. Not to do that at all. Just looking at the crop. And then my biggest issue when I drove over to McLean County was just the wind damage that I could see all across the crop that was just outside of Bloomington. A lot of crop laying down, but I stopped and looked, and I still think a lot of it's harvestable. I don't think it was completely flattened, you know, to the ground where you can't do that.
It just takes a long time to get through it. It is harvestable.
It does. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Hey, thank you much.
I think the other thing real quick is, what can we get out of South America? And this is going to be a big question to think about in the coming weeks. There is reason to believe the South is going to stay wet and the North is going to stay drier. And so, Todd, the big story is, once we get about now in September, did they plant fast or not? And I don't think they are. And that could be another bit of bullish news overall. So that's where I leave things, you know, here at this point in August.
That's the other one that's important. I thank you much, particularly for the soybeans. We appreciate it.
You bet.
That is Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions, and helped us to wrap up this edition of the Closing Market Report. If you can stay with us for the whole hour, you'll hear all of Commodity Week. If not, it's on our website at willag.org right now, and many of these radio stations will carry it over the weekend. Commodity Week is next.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day are Dave Chatterton. He's with Strategic Farm Marketing. Brian Stark joins us from the Andersons. And Greg Johnson is here from TGM. That's Total Grain Marketing. Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online on demand at WILLAG.org. Let's get a list of items that we should talk about for the week. I know each of you are likely to have the Pro Farmer Crop Tour on the list. However, and we can take up what the tour has found, those numbers won't be released until 1:30 on Friday afternoon, and we will have heard them in our closing market report when we talked with Lane Acree about the national numbers that Pro Farmer puts together. So that's on the list, I'm sure. But Dave Chatterton, what else is there?
Well, yeah, Todd, I think to your point, it's been a supply-focused type of a week, and the action that we've had in the market this week and the upside that we've gained over the last couple of weeks, I think primarily tied to the idea is that yields are coming down, and, you know, USDA started that way in their August report. I think the Pro Farmer numbers generally lean to a point where there's some implication that USDA may have further work to do in that, and we can debate that, but that, I think, supply side debate of the market is going to pretty quickly come to an end, and we have to transition from what's been a supply driven type of a rally here pre-harvest to what will be a demand driven rally, we hope, post-harvest. And I think there's some things to talk about there, the Chinese demand for what's going on there. I think we continue to load a lot of corn and see reflections of the Black Sea. I think there's, you know, the idea that potentially we could have a problem with the El Nino in South America this winter. So that demand thing, side of the marketplace, I think, is the next place that we're going to see the trade focus.
Brian Stark of the Andersons on your list this week.
Yeah, I think focus obviously at your most at-risk bushels this fall. I think the grower always, at this time of the year, we've been known to see the typical capitulation. The market, obviously, as Dave highlighted, has given kind of a supply-driven rally. We don't want to rest on complacency. So executing a good plan for the harvest bushels that have to move during fall and where the best strategies are to take place relative to cash basis is certainly important.
And Craig Johnson from TGM.
I agree with Dave that pretty soon we are going to be shifting to the demand side of the equation. But before we do, I'd like to throw out there one more supply-related issue, and that's the recent 10 to 15 to 20 inches of rain that have gone through central Illinois and central Indiana. Typically, rain and storms in an isolated area are not enough to affect the overall yield, to affect the markets. I'm just wondering, was this a big enough area and a severe enough area? What kind of impact will it have on the production in those two states and on the national yield?
Since this is a question you have, do you have an answer for it?
Well, I think if you combine it with what Pro Farmer is kind of telling us, that the yields are not as good as what it looks like from the road. And when I say that, I don't mean to imply that it's a disaster by any stretch, but if farmers had 240 bushel corn last year and it looks every bit as green and healthy as it did last year, I think they could be surprised when they won't find 240 bushel corn out there, when they might find 225 bushel corn out there. Again, not a disaster, but probably lower than what USDA is estimating for Illinois anyway. I don't want to speak for Indiana, but here through central Illinois, I think it's less. And then the soybeans, 67 bushels for the state of Illinois when the record was 64 last year and a couple of years ago, 64. Can we really hit 67 with all this rain in central Illinois? You know, will we have disease problem? Will that lead to lower bean size? I'm just wondering. I guess I'm curious to see what everybody else thinks, but 67 seems a little high or a little optimistic. And I think I probably would have agreed with that a month ago, but I'm not sure I agree with that now.
Greg, would you venture a guess at the Illinois statewide number?
Last year, the state was 214.
Correct.
The year before was 217.
Uh-huh.
I guess I would say it's probably 210. I don't think we're as good as we were last year. I think it's, again, 210 is not a disaster. It's probably the fourth biggest crop we've ever had, but it's just not as big as what USDA is using, and it's not as big is what I think it looks like from the roadside.
Stay with us if you can on our home station. We'll have more of Commodity Week in just a moment. If not, you've been listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. You can find our programming, including Commodity Week in its entirety, at willag.org, and many of these stations will carry it over the weekend.